Last night was a preview of this morning's message. So for those of you who were here last night, you're going to hear what you heard last night, but you're going to hear the enhanced version of it. So think of it, that was the movie trailer last night. That was the Vesper version. You get the preaching version. But it's only going to be a brief message. But I hope that... It is going to be a brief message. We have been thoroughly satisfied. This is just dessert, okay? All right. So the message this morning is titled, Savior Unknown, Savior Revealed. Savior Unknown, Savior Revealed. And if you're taking notes, I want to give you a heads up. There won't be several points to be made. I mean, there are points to the message, but I'm not going to say number one, number two. So the main idea is the point. And what you keep as notes probably will best be done by just bullet points on whatever the Lord impresses your heart with. So the main idea this morning is God revealed to us the one we could not know. God revealed to us the one we could not know. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind. We could not see. We didn't know who you were. It's an old song that is still just as true today. It's an old song about an old story that is still just as true today. We didn't know who you were. The prophets prophesied. In the book of Micah, we read these words, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Out of you, Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, he was born. Isaiah writes these words, in that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. And he healed the deaf, and he opened the eyes of the blind. But they didn't know who he was. Jesus appealed directly to the people. As he grew in his ministry, as he grew older and became a man, he spoke directly to the people. It says in John 5:26, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For Moses wrote about me. He said, I am the bread of life. And many walked away. Some accused him of blasphemy. And he says in John 10, why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I'm the Son of God? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. In John 14, Thomas, one of his disciples, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. But even some of his disciples didn't know who he was. Not really. And then it got worse. The Apostle John writes, for not even his brothers were believing in him. The Gospel of Mark records, his family came to take him away, for they said, he's out of his mind. It's a lonely place when your family writes you off. But they didn't know who he was. Even after the resurrection, as many did put their faith in Christ, the Apostle Paul recalls of himself, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, he said, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, Paul would say, I didn't know who he was. I was going after the Christians with a fervency and a bitterness and a determination to make this whole thing go away, to make them extinct. Because I didn't know who he was. And then after Paul had a supernatural encounter with the Jesus, whose name he had tried to snuff out, that same Jesus whom he had utterly despised, after Paul received the revelation that that Jesus was in fact the Lord of heaven and earth, Paul's life turned 180 degrees. And he began to proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world. And he did that vigorously, passionately, tirelessly, relentlessly, just as he had once persecuted the church of God. Now he was promoting it with every ounce of his fiber. And one day in his travels, he came to Athens. And the scriptures tell us that he was distressed to see that that great city was full of idols. And it tells us in Acts 17 that Paul stood up at a meeting of the Areopagus, which was both a legal forum, and it was also a gathering place of the intelligentsia. And he said to those gathered there, he said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. In other words, those great minds of Athens didn't know who he was. With all of their learning, they didn't know who he was. And what about us? And what about us? What about me? What about Dan Beatty standing here before you today? Preachers preached when I was growing up. From my family, the pastor who preached for us. Our home church was Reverend J.P. Wilson. He preached Sunday after Sunday. Choirs sang Sunday after Sunday. I was even in the choir, my brother and I. And while Reverend Wilson preached and preached, we drew pictures of the back of his head. Sunday school teachers taught diligently, with dedication, with love, except Miss Ivy, who was a mean old soul. Billy Graham came on TV, crusades, preaching. Just As I Am played, and multitudes came up front singing Just As I Am without one plea. Street evangelists passed out tracts. The man with the multicolored afro that showed up at sporting events holding the sign John 3:16 behind the goalpost when they were about to kick the extra point. He showed up at the World Series. He showed up at the NBA Finals. He showed up everywhere. I don't know how the man could afford to show up everywhere. He didn't have a job. His job was that wig. Christians came to my dorm room. After I tried to warn everybody else on the dorm floor that they were coming, I'm running down the hall saying, the Christians are coming. The Christians are coming. Get away. My roommate had a scheme where he would, when they were about to knock on his door, he'd put his coat on and then he'd open the door just as they knocked saying, I'm leaving. But to get him back, I remember once that they came down the floor and he had his coat on, was going through his routine, stepped out like he was leaving, and when he went back in, and then I waited until they went all the way down and came back, and when they got right at his door, I opened the door and showed him sitting there watching TV. So they got him. But they also got me. Because being raised in the church, I was taught, don't mess with God. You know, even if you don't believe or what have you, don't mess with God. Don't be disrespectful to people who are talking to you about God. So I listened as the Christian sat in my dorm room and talked to me about Jesus. And he left believing that I knew who he was. But I didn't know who he was. I knew about him. I'd heard a lot of things. I'd had all the little pieces floating around like fragments, but they'd never come together and given me a knowledge of who he was. And so I, like so many others, didn't know who he was. But the old song that I read at the beginning, Sweet Little Jesus Boy, it tells us why we didn't know who he was. Doesn't just say we didn't know who you were. It tells us why. And it says this, our eyes were blind. We could not see. Our eyes were blind. We could not see. And the scriptures agree. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The scripture tells us that there are demonic forces blinding the minds of people so they cannot see who Jesus is. They cannot figure it out. No matter how much evidence is presented, no matter how many miracles are performed, they cannot see. We cannot see. Angels are messengers from God. They don't improvise. They don't editorialize. They don't interpret. They just deliver the message as dictated. God doesn't send them and they say, well, we could probably put it this way. Let's figure out a better way to say that for him. They are messengers who are tasked to deliver the message as dictated. So when the angel announced that Jesus' birth was good news, as Grace shared earlier in the call to worship, when the angel announced that Jesus' birth was good news of great joy that will be for all people, he was sharing God's perspective of the birth of his son. He was sharing how God saw Jesus coming into the world. God sent Jesus into the world as good news, great joy, all people. That was the narrative that God sent Jesus into the world with. So what happened? What happened? Obviously, something was lost in the translation, because 33 years later, the good news and the great joy was crucified by the very people he came to bless. How many of us crucify someone bringing us good news? We hug them. We love them. We thank them. We remember them. We send thank you cards. We smile at them. But here, good news, great joy, all people, was despised, was rejected, and was crucified. What happened? And still today, instead of being received as God intended, even today, instead of being received as God intended, the name Jesus is controversial. It's politically incorrect. Since when was good news, great joy for all people, politically incorrect? What happened? This is directly attributable to the schemes of the evil one, who has blinded the minds with misinformation and disinformation and suspicion. And simply put, lies about the great news, the good news of great joy for all people. He's a master deceiver, a master of confusion, a murderer, the scripture says. However, even though the old song, Sweet Little Jesus Boy, it ends with a very sad note, on a mournful note. It ends with, we didn't know who you were. That's where the song ends. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That's not where God's plan ended. Because the same passage that speaks about the blindness that's created by the evil one, that same passage also speaks about divine light coming from the God of all creation. Grace conquered the darkness. And the scripture tells us, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so what happened with all of us is that God revealed the one to us that we could not know on our own. He spoke into our darkness and created the light of revelation so that we could see Jesus for who he really is, so that we could know who he really is. And that's why we're here today. And that's why this month we're talking about the gospel, the great news, the good news of great joy for all people. So God revealed the one we couldn't know, and now we're able to hear the heart of the message that the angels proclaimed that night. Good news, great joy, all people. And one day, one glorious day, the scales fell off my eyes and my blindness lifted, and I was able to see Jesus for who he is. One day I felt the warmth of new life filling up my life. One day I felt the darkness being swallowed up by magnificent light. This was not because I figured it out or I got to know. It was because the one I could not know was graciously revealed to me by the living God. And that's why you see. Because one day our gracious God revealed the one we could not know on our own. For all of us who know Jesus, we came in different ways to the one who is the way. And now we all sing a new song, Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, I see. And what a glorious sight it is that I see. Thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes. And so today we say, thank you, Lord, for eyes to see the miracle of life in you. Thank you for the marvels of eternal life. We say glory to God because we do know who he is. And he's graciously, day by day, revealing more of himself to us. And he's going to continue to do this, the scripture says, through all of eternity. We know him even as we are getting to know him. And even as we will continue to get to know him throughout all of eternity. That is our destination. As I said last week, salvation is just the introduction. Coming to know him as our Savior is just the beginning. It's the introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand, it says in Romans 5. And what we have to look forward to is an ever-deepening relationship with him that brings us the unsearchable riches of his power, his love, and his wisdom. And I have one more thing I want to say, and it's a personal note, an example of the unsearchable riches of Christ. I was praying about a situation, and it was a situation that was, I was torn. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know which path to choose. And I was desperate before the Lord. And I was crying out to him. And I was saying, Lord, I just want to honor you with this decision, but I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to decide. I don't know how to think my way through this. And it seems to me, Lord, that you would be of greater assistance. If you please. It seems to me that you would be able to see my heart. And it seems to me that you would be able to see my longing. And it seems to me that you would be able to see my passion to want to just embrace the right way to go with this. But you're not saying nothing. Why are you leaving me in this spot? Show me which way to go. I don't have an agenda. If you say right, I'll go right. If you say left, I'll go left. And I don't really let the chips fall where they may, but say something. Say something. And this is just me. This is my us factor. This is my relationship with the Lord. It's not a prescription. It's not a model. It's not a recipe. It's nothing but what happened with me and the Lord. If you find it helpful, God bless you. If not, it's my story. So I'm in this place. And the Lord laid it upon my heart. I want you to think about a different question. Don't think about this way. Don't think about that way. I want you to think about a different question. And here's the question. What are you afraid of? That's not an answer. Lord, what are you afraid of? You see, the desperation that you're feeling is being fueled in some part by a fear of what will happen if you choose the wrong way. So let's talk about the fear. And if we can reassure you, if I can reassure you, if I can comfort you, if I can console you in your fears. Then the desperation and the angst about the decision will die down. And the truth of the matter is, you want to honor me? What honors me is not perfect decision making. What honors me is your faith. So I am already honored. And if you go to the left, I'm going to be with you. If you go to the right, I'm going to be with you because I love you. And I'm done.